What's up, everyone? Another episode of One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell. I'm recording this episode on the day of the final regular season game for Minnesota. They take on the Nashville Predators tonight. The Wild know their fate. They've clinched a Stanley Cup playoff berth for the 13th time in team history. They know they'll be the number three seed. Still waiting to see, of course, who they play in the opening round, whether they travel to Dallas or Colorado. We'll know that in the next 24 or 48 hours. But Minnesota hitting the 100-point plateau in the standings for the sixth time in team history. Second time ever they've done it in back-to-back years. Of course, last year, a record-breaking 113-point campaign. Hope to have some content for you throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs, whether it be more episodes of this podcast or just some other sort of Stanley Cup playoff matchup type things on social media. But stay tuned for all of that. Again, appreciate everybody tuning in. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, comment. Appreciate everybody's help in trying to grow the podcast. This week's episode is a pretty special one. I had a chance to chat with Minnesota native Jamie Hirsch, who is a studio host for the NHL and MLB Network. Once upon a time, she worked for Fox Sports North doing a lot of Wild and Twins coverage. Fun conversation with Jamie, catching up with her on her career path. The chaos, if you will, that is NHL On The Fly, the highlight-based show that she helps host many nights at the NHL Network. I also talked with her about working with such colorful personalities like Bruce Boudreau, a former Minnesota Wild head coach, of course. I'll also ask Jamie about her time as a play-by-play broadcaster, something that she's recently added to her resume over at the NHL Network. Much more to come throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs and then eventually into the offseason. But for now, here's my conversation with Jamie Hirsch. Really excited for my conversation today with Jamie Hirsch, studio host for the NHL Network and MLB Network, a Minnesota girl. And it's nice to catch up with you and meet you virtually. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's always nice to connect with people from back home, especially when they're affiliated with the Wild.
You're very busy these days. I'm sure most days during the NHL and MLB season, especially when they coincide. And I was hoping you could kind of run me through what a typical day looks like for you when you know you're going to host at night.
Yeah, you know, it depends on the schedule of the show for sure. So tonight is my last on the fly. Tonight being Thursday is my last on the fly of the season, which is great to go out with a bang with a 15-game slate of a lot of playoff implications. And so if it's a late night show like tonight's is, I have the day to myself, basically, which usually involves sleeping for a good chunk of the morning. I have two young kids, so I typically I get home around 2 a.m., go to sleep for 4 or 5 hours, wake up with the kids, bring them to school, and then go back to bed for a few hours in the morning. And then in the afternoons, just have some time to myself to do errands or whatever needs to happen. And also just really start reading our daily research packet that comes out. We have a great research team at MLB Network and NHL Network that work in tandem, and they put out kind of a one sheet on each matchup of the night with the relevant storylines and facts and figures and trends lately for both teams. And that's super helpful for what I do in preparing on cameras about a certain game. So a few hours before our actual show, we have a meeting which involves our producer, our coordinating producer, our director, the graphics people, research people, and the host and analyst if we have one. And we go over, again, the plan for the show, you know, what the best storylines going into the night look like, which games we think we're going to highlight in what order in terms of, you know, the A block is the first block of the show before the first commercial break. And so usually those are the best matchups of the night. But the good thing about our show being on the fly is that we are a highlight show. So if there's action that plays out throughout the night that, you know, mandates that we lead with a totally different game. I mean, you might have a crazy game between, I don't know, the Blue Jackets and the Flyers or something, and that suddenly is in the A block, which you wouldn't have expected. So that's what's fun about my show, On the Fly, is that we can kind of be flexible with our format of the show based on what the action on the ice dictates.
What's sort of the normal breakdown for you as far as whether it's NHL Tonight, On the Fly, your work with the MLB Network? Like, do you have a handle going on essentially each week what you're going to be doing there, how much you'll be split up and running all over the place? How does that all work?
You mean just in terms of my weekly schedule?
Yeah, like, is it something where, you know, a month out, here's where I'm going to be and when, or do they, you know, are
yeah,
you just running around like crazy?
No, I mean, it depends, especially during playoffs. It really does change day by day because, you know, certain series might go 7 and certain series might go 4 or 5. And so then our shows change based on when the games are. But typically we do get our schedule a month at a time, by the middle of the month beforehand, and so we can have some sense of normalcy. But again, being on the fly, that's 7 days a week. It's not Monday through Friday. So I do have several weeks where, like for this week, for example, I'm off Monday and Friday. And last week I was off, I think, Sunday and Wednesday. So it is kind of crazy in that sense. And certainly the hours are wild as well. I mentioned I get home at 2 in the morning, and that's because we are on the East Coast and we're waiting for a lot of those 10 o'clock Eastern time or 10:30 Eastern time starts with the Kings and the Canucks and the all of the West Coast teams that start at either 10 or 10:30 Eastern. So we wait till those games are done. And then we come on again to do the final highlights and discuss all of the games, no matter when they start or when they finish.
From afar, it seems like the NHL Network talent group has a lot of fun, a lot of personalities, a lot of enthusiasm. What's the vibe like behind the scenes with the analysts and the hosts interacting, and just how much fun is that aspect of it?
I have always said that the best part of my job is the people that I work with. And it is certainly not only the analysts, they're a big part of it, but the producers, the directors, nobody takes themselves too seriously. And we also kind of have an unwritten rule, like, don't be a jerk. That's kind of said from leadership all the way down at MLB Network. And it's really found, I've proven to be true in my time here, where most people genuinely are nice people, and we all recognize that at the end of the day, we're working in sports. We're talking about sports. There's nothing life or death here. There's nothing too serious. And I really think that, especially over the past few years, I've sensed a general shift in how strictly we take ourselves in terms of the traditional TV roles. And I would go even so far as to say the dress code. NHL Now has become a much more casual show because it's a previewing the games to come kind of show. And so they sit on chairs and they're in jeans and they're talking hockey. And I think there's an appetite for that right now in the current media landscape. I think when people turn on the TV or watch on their phone or wherever they end up, taking in their media content, I think they want to be entertained. In a world like the one we currently live in, where TikTok videos drive everything and they're, 5 to 15 seconds long, people's attention spans are really short. So if you're not having fun, if you're not being entertaining, people are going to tune out really quickly. And I think that that message has kind of allowed all of us to enjoy ourselves and to genuinely watch the games while they're happening on NHL Tonight and just react as any hockey fan would. And when you're watching as a fan and the person that's saying, "Oh my gosh, look at that goal," is Kevin Weeks or Devin Dubnyk, that makes it all the more fun as a fan to watch.
Let's stay there for a moment because it's way different, I'm sure, than when you were going to school for broadcast journalism and early in your career. I mean, I've seen the evolution. You just alluded to the dress code and the short attention spans and the social media driven world we live in. How much do you stay on the forefront of that and trying to be current with the trends and social media? And how important is that for your job?
I think it's really important. I know that I am guilty of not being, I don't keep up with the content volume as much as I probably should, because to be honest, I find it exhausting sometimes because it's a lot of work. It's like a full-time job to, have daily Instagram, TikTok, Twitter content. And I applaud everyone who finds time for that. But I do think it's really important. And I think that that is where we're headed in terms of streaming, certainly. Even as someone that works in TV and relies on cable subscribers, I have to be honest and tell you that I hardly ever watch my quote unquote cable TV. Most of the content that I take in on a daily basis comes off my phone. And I know that I'm very much in the majority of people. I'm 35 years old, and people my age and certainly younger are going more in that direction, where they're not going to sit down and turn on a television. And even though DVR, was kind of revolutionary when it came out, like even DVR now is outdated because it doesn't matter. You shouldn't have to record something. People want to get it on demand right now, and stream it from whatever device they have. So it's such an interesting time to be in media. And I, to answer your question, I think I'm trying to keep up with having a social media platform and presence, but there are certainly times where I feel overwhelmed by it all as well as just a human, and I tend to focus on, you know, my two young kids and my day-to-day life and kind of stay off social media occasionally.
I've had the chance to call some games, do some play-by-play this year. How's that been?
It's been so fun, and I would love to talk to you offline sometime about your experience too and your advice or little bits of wisdom, because I just started into this new adventure of play-by-play. It's never something I even really considered, and I think, you know, no one ever told me you can't do it because you're a woman, but at the same time, there were no women calling hockey games, and so I never even imagined myself doing it. And that's why I do think there's power in just having representation, because just what I said, if people out there don't see themselves, you know, as someone like them doing something, then they don't even think, oh, I could do that. So I had a couple of people actually reach out and say, oh, have you ever tried that? Or have you thought to try it? And I just kind of brushed it off. And then, you know, every year we do this all-female NHL Now show as part of International Women's Day in March. And we usually do a lot of media interviews leading up to that. And a lot of times the people will ask, where do you think we still have room to grow in terms of women's role in sports and specifically hockey? And I always would say play-by-play. So someone kind of called my bluff on that, and they were like, oh, well, have you thought of that? And I said, man, I should, you know, I should. And so I thought about it. I kind of started practicing in my car, you know, on my own, not driving certainly, but like I'd go to work early and I'd sit in the parking lot and I would watch games on mute on my phone and just kind of practice just for fun to see if I thought it was kind of fun. And I was very surprised how quickly I was taken by it. You know, I feel like I got bit by the adrenaline bug of calling live action. It's so much fun, as you know, and there's nothing quite as exciting as somehow being involved and feeling like you are involved in the game itself. So I have certainly enjoyed it. It's something I'm very new at, and I think I've called 7 or 8 games total. So I'm still very much learning, and there's criticism out there, but there's also been so much support, and that has really blown me away. The people that have come out of the woodworks to support me and tell me to keep going and keep learning and keep trying and keep getting reps. That's really been empowering and encouraging going forward. So hopefully, you know, the season's over now, but hopefully next season I'll have a lot more opportunities to get those reps and try to find my voice and find my way in the play-by-play role.
Well, Jamie, I know that you probably won't want to comment on this, but the powers that be, maybe I need to talk to them for you. They've got to get you guys live on location. I mean, it's so much harder to do the game off a monitor, which I'm sure you're aware. I'm sure Kevin Weeks has told you the same thing. So you're not exactly given the most level playing field in those scenarios, but I think it's awesome. And I'm glad you're having fun with it. And I'm really glad, like you said, you know, the representation is very important, and to be a trailblazer in some ways in that regard's got to be awesome for you.
Yeah, it is. It's exciting. And I, you know, I have I feel a certain responsibility to not mess up. You know, that's basically what I say going into everything, which is a low bar, right? But I just say, I just don't want to make any egregious mistakes. I don't want to call the wrong name on a goal. I don't want to totally miss something. And so that's kind of my goal. And then the rest is, the game really just dictates it, as you know. And I've learned something different with each and every game that I've done. And I've had the opportunity to call 2 Wild games, which is especially exciting for me, of course, as a Minnesota girl. So I agree with you. It would be really nice to be on location. It'd be a game changer for sure. And hopefully I'll get some of those opportunities going forward in some capacity. But that's kind of the next dream, if you will.
As I was getting ready for our conversation, I read an article recently written about you, and there was a quote in there that I really liked. You said, "Separation is in the preparation." Who'd you steal that from?
Yes, that is not my own. And I don't know if this is this person's own as well, but I will always credit that to Russell Wilson, actually, the quarterback currently of the Denver Broncos. But my first job out of college was in Madison, Wisconsin. I was a weekend sports anchor for WKOW, the ABC affiliate in Madison. And kind of one man band style, I shot everything, edited everything, and then, you know, fronted everything myself. And I covered Russell Wilson in his 1 year with the Badgers. And he struck me as just such an impressive person. He still has. I mean, he's gone on to have an incredible professional career as well. But even as a college age kid, he was so mature after a tough loss. he would come back with a smile on his face and say, you know, we're going to get better next time. And he was just always so impressive in his persona and the way he handled everything. And that was a quote that he often used. Separation is in the preparation. And so I definitely stole that from him. That is something that I have tried to kind of live by in my career, because especially being a woman in sports, I do believe that you have a responsibility to be the most prepared you can be, because credibility is very hard to build up as a woman in sports and very easy to lose. So if you make one mistake on, you know, some stat or a person's name or whatever it may be, that's kind of my biggest fear, and I don't want to lose that credibility. So I know that if I'm the most prepared that I can possibly be, whether it's doing on the fly or NHL tonight or play-by-play for that matter, I certainly want to be as prepared as possible.
How do you handle criticism in today's social media-driven world?
Oh, that's a great question, and it changes because some days I'm better at handling it than others. I will say I've gotten a lot better at it since starting at NHL Network, because when I first started in Minnesota, you know, I think the people of Minnesota are just so great, and especially in the sense that, you know, we always hear Minnesota nice, but that really does ring true in my experience, and especially if you are kind of the one of us mentality. So I was lucky to face very little criticism in my time in Minnesota. And I think that was because I was a Minnesota girl and people just were inherently nicer because I was one of them. But then when I came to NHL Network, I did get a lot of criticism just from random people. You know, you say one thing against their team, or, you know, they don't look very good on this night or whatever. And then all of a sudden you're hearing it from that fan base, like, oh, Jamie hates the Penguins, Jamie hates the Predators, whatever it may be. And that used to really bother me, or, you know, comments about my outfit or my hair. And that used to really get to me. And luckily I just have such a great support system, whether it be my parents and certainly my husband, who have always said, Jamie, you're not going to hear from supporters because people don't take their time to be nice necessarily. A lot of people will use their voice to be negative, and that's kind of, unfortunately, I don't know, human nature maybe, but that does seem to be true. Like there are, I like to think anyway, that for every one person that really is not a fan of mine, that there are 100 people out there who think I'm totally fine and I don't bother them at all. And they're just, you know, the silent majority. So that's kind of how I justify or rationalize everything with myself. But I'd be lying if it says certain comments don't get to me, especially lately when it comes to the play-by-play thing, because I am so new at it and I am seeking feedback from everyone. And then you have to be careful because you have to, as you know, filter in and out of the kind of feedback that you actually let in versus, you know, move on in one ear, out the other.
How big of a thrill was it to land with Fox Sports North covering the Wild and the Twins earlier in your career?
Oh, man, it was a dream come true. As I mentioned, I was in Madison, Wisconsin, which was great. I covered some great sports teams there at the time, but the dream was always to do something bigger than local sports. And it was kind of a bit of a roller coaster in getting to Fox Sports North, because they had kind of undergone some changes internally with their hiring staff. And I actually auditioned there. My first audition there was the week of my wedding. I drove back, you know, changed in a Whole Foods into a suit because I didn't want it to be wrinkled from the long drive, and went across the street to interview at Fox. And it didn't necessarily go well. And so I left there thinking, there's no way that this is never going to happen. And I was defeated, but I was like, whatever, it's my wedding week, let's just go get married. And I thought nothing of it. And then they underwent a change in leadership. And the guy who was new there had been in the initial interview, and he remembered me. And he remembered me, and there was a changing. That was the same year that Anthony LaPanta took over the play-by-play role for the Wild. And so there was going to be a bit of a void in terms of the pre and post game host for the Wild. So I got a call, my agent got a call, whatever, that they'd like me to come back for an actual audition, not just an interview. And I was thrilled. So I went back. Ben Clymer was a brand new analyst at the time, and he was in the audition with me. I think we were both auditioning, which is kind of funny. And we had a great time together. Things went really well. And then it became a waiting game because they basically told me they wanted to hire me, but there was a lockout. and there would be no work. And I couldn't, you know, they couldn't guarantee that I would get paid if I started with them without any work. So I again, kind of was discouraged and went back and kept going to my old job. But eventually they made good on their word. The lockout ended and I started in that lockout shortened season. So it was a true dream to be able to cover the teams that I grew up watching and cheering for, and especially to be able to have my dad and my friends and family being able to watch me every day. And, you know, my dad is a super fan. He's a Minnesota super fan. So especially with the Twins, I remember, you know, whenever I would come over for dinner to my parents' house or something, he would always want to know what Gardy say in the clubhouse, what Joe Mauer say, what, you know, he was that super fan dad and my biggest supporter. And so that part was just such a dream come true.
There's a lot of Minnesota ties at the NHL network, from Bruce Boudreau to Brian Lawton. Mike Rupp spent some time with the Wild.
Yep.
Devin Dubnyk, John Torchetti. How cool
Mark
is that
Parrish.
For you? Yeah, Mark Parrish. How cool is that for you?
It's fantastic. I love it. And I mostly love it because I am certainly the token homer in MLB Network. You know, as you can imagine, there are a lot of New York area fans, yep, a lot of Boston area sports fans out here, a lot of Philly fans. And so anytime anything Minnesota happens, you know, everyone comes by my office to talk to me about how about the Wild, how about the Twins, whatever. And so, and my office, by the way, is like a Minnesota sports haven. I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of memorabilia I have in there. And I love it. So to have other people with Minnesota ties has been very special. And we do kind of joke about it. I worked a playoff game, I guess it was just last year. Was last year the Vegas Wild Series? I can't even remember. I think it was just last year. Or no.
It was the Blues last year.
It was the Blues last year. 2 years ago was Vegas.
Yeah.
So that's right. Because Bruce Boudreau was working with me when the Wild were playing the Golden Knights in the playoffs. And, you know, he had recently been fired. And it was very hilarious because, you know, off camera, we were watching the game together and I was rooting so hard for the Wild and he was rooting so hard for Vegas. And we were just laughing about everything. But everyone I work with, again, they're truly gems of people that I work with. And it's fun to have a little slice of home coming into the studio every now and then.
Obviously, Bruce is a big personality. His time with the Canucks, that fan base really took to him. He sort of got a raw deal there. Wild fans know him well. How would you kind of sum up Bruce Boudreau, the man they call Gabby?
Yes. Well, they call him Gabby because he is truly one of the most talkative people ever. But he's also one of the most genuinely nice and thoughtful people. And I don't really know how much people understand that. You know, I think everyone knows that he's generally well-liked, but when I tell you he's thoughtful, I mean, this is a guy who is, you know, one of the most connected people in hockey probably. And he was one of the first people to text me when my daughter was born a couple of years ago. He was one of the first people to text me Merry Christmas this past year, you know? And I just take little things like that. And I think, wow, like that really speaks volumes that this person is just such a thoughtful and nice human. And he also, you know, has just always been so willing to do anything. Even before I knew him, when he was coaching the Wild and I was at NHL Network, I went up to him, you know, to interview him at All-Star, I think it was in LA that year. And he spent 10 minutes talking to me. You know, he's busy. He's All-Star. He's coaching, but he makes time for people and he makes you feel important and valued and special. And I have nothing but good things to say about him.
If there's a newer analyst, a player fresh off his playing career, a coach that's just joining the group, how do you try and help them along their first couple shows?
I try to basically be their producer or be their messenger between the producer and them, because I think it is a little bit daunting. I'll use Brian Boyle as an example. He just recently started with us and it's a bit daunting to suddenly come in, and we have these things called rundowns, which is the rundown of a show, but it's a piece of paper that has a zillion words and boxes and everything on it that looks very familiar to me now, but looks very foreign to someone who's never worked in TV or seen that. And so it is overwhelming when you're on a call and they're saying, we'll do this and the A block, and then we'll bump this and we'll go with the break and we'll tease this and we'll come back with an in bump of this. And these are all TV words, TV vernacular that they're not familiar with.
Yeah.
So I try to just, whatever the producer says in our ear in the commercial break, I try to then just repeat it kind of in layman's terms to the analysts, and just, and also remind them that, don't worry, I'm going to ask you the questions. All you have to do is answer. And, you know, whatever you see on the ice, just talk about it. And that makes them usually feel a lot more at ease, because that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, you know, I'm the one that's there to make sure we get in and out of commercial break on time and whatnot. They're the ones that are just there really to share their experience and share their insight and analysis. So it's been fun to see some of these really like superhero players come in and be very nervous. And remember that they're humans too, because I think we put them on a pedestal and then suddenly they're put into an uncomfortable situation for them. And it's been a really fun experience to kind of help them along and make them feel comfortable. Although I will say, Brian Boyle, he spilled his entire water bottle on his lap his first night, and I felt so bad for him.
Rookie mistake there.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he handled it fine, and he was with Rupper. That's the thing too. They usually try to do a good job of putting another analyst who's a lot more veteran on the same show with anyone who's new, so that there's a lot of, you know, camaraderie, and they can just feel a little bit more like kind of in the locker room teammate kind of dynamic.
Last couple of years, you've come back for Hockey Day Minnesota. How would you describe Hockey Day Minnesota to somebody that's not from the state of hockey?
I always say it is an unofficial state holiday where the whole state and really the whole region sits down to watch the game at its purest form, in its purest form, for a whole day where we celebrate the game. And it's just been so special. It's so cold every year. And every year by the end of the day, I say, I'm never doing this again. And then every year I get nostalgic and I say, okay, yeah, I'll come back. Next year's in Warroad, and you know, I think I'm probably going to go back, even though I'm sure it'll be 30 below zero or something. But it's so special because you see not only, you know, the excitement of the players and the teams, but you see what it means to each community. And that's been the most special part, is talking to some of the organizers each year, you know, whether it be this year in White Bear Lake or certainly last year in Mankato. I mean, to have one of the best college men's hockey teams in the country also playing on Hockey Day, like we saw last year in Mankato, that was awesome. And it snowed. And I mean, every year has its own unique flavor, but I would just say, you know, it's a state holiday that we all, you know, genuinely, people just sit down to take in kind of the purity of the game we love.
What's one or two things you'd share with an aspiring broadcast journalist?
I always say repetition is the most important thing that you can get, because there are different paths. There's no blueprint to getting anywhere in this business. Everyone's story is different. And a lot of people start, you know, in the behind the scenes roles at bigger networks and maybe make connections and somehow get their big break to go on air. I never really felt like that was ever going to be the best path for me, because again, I thought it was better for me to just start getting repetitions, even if it was in Madison, Wisconsin, which by the way was a fantastic starting market. And I felt very lucky to have that opportunity right out of college. But you know, a lot of people start in Bemidji or other places that are a lot smaller markets. And I think that is great, because if you're willing to kind of go anywhere and take any job that's available, I think just having that repetition and that experience, you can just become so much better and so much more comfortable in whatever your role is, if you're getting those reps in, rather than waiting as like a production assistant or something else behind the camera. That's not getting you better at the end of the day. And so in today's world, I talk to a lot of college students who are, you know, trying to figure out how to be the next me or whatever, you know, whatever they say. And I just say same thing, except now, you guys are lucky that there are these platforms out there that you can just do that on your own. So you don't have to wait necessarily for the perfect job to come along. If you are in a city where there's a sports team, maybe one that, you know, isn't the NFL or something, but maybe a sports team that's willing to, you know, give you the time of day and let you come do some interviews, you can do that on your own. I started in high school with my best friend, who wanted to get into film, taking a home video camera and following me around where I did high school. I interviewed our high school football coach and football players, and we put a little package together for the high school morning news show. You know, I mean, that I would love to see that tape now, because I'm sure it would be all kinds of cringeworthy. But that is the kind of repetition I'm talking about, where nobody cares, you know, how good or bad I am at that level, but it's me getting experience and figuring out, you know, what the heck I'm doing.
I think you said that so well. And I often pass along that same type of advice, right? To me, it's the experience, it's the hands-on experience, it's the reps, it's using your resources. And you're right, technology today, social media today, everybody can start their own podcast, it seems, or, you know, do things with simple editing on your phone now. Like, you can put your reel together on your own. There's, you know, back in the day, I was sending out demo CDs to every hockey team known to man, trying to get somebody to listen. So I love that.
Mine was DVDs, but same thing.
And look, you're right. Not every path is the same. So solid advice there, Jamie. Really appreciate that. All right. Real quick, Stanley Cup playoffs are right around the corner. Paint the picture, wide brush here. What are you most excited about? Matchups, like, just kind of, I know it's a very general question, but how excited are you for the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I'm very excited. And I will even give you some hot takes that are probably not going to pan out, but I would love to see, I shouldn't say I would love to see this, because I'm going to get all, whatever. I think the Boston Bruins are not going to win the Stanley Cup. And in fact, I think that they're going to win in either the first or second round. I don't see them even getting to the Eastern Conference final. And I just think it's the President's Trophy curse. We haven't actually seen in a full season a team win the President's Trophy and go on to win the Stanley Cup since 07-08 when the Red Wings did it. So that's been a really long time.
Wow.
And it's hard. I mean, you can't expect a team to rattle off the most wins ever in an NHL season and be able to withstand what truly is the second season. My prediction is they're going to run out of gas at some point, or they're going to run into a hot goalie, be it Ilya Sorokin with the Islanders in the first round or Vasilevsky in the second round. That's my prediction. I also am definitely picking the Lightning over the Leafs, and I'm here for it all day, because I don't know. There's something about
more Tampa. Toronto misery is what you're telling me.
I think so. And, you know, I feel for you, Leafs Nation, because look, I'm a Minnesota sports fan too. Like, we know what heartache is as well, all too well. But I don't know. I don't see it. I'm worried about the goaltending. I think the pressure is just so high, whereas Tampa has no pressure. They've been to three straight Stanley Cup finals, and they're starting to kind of turn it on at the right time as well. Steven Stamkos is having an unreal season. Brandon Point is having a career season. That's my prediction.
I'm feeling a new segment on the NHL Network, Hot Takes with Jamie Hirsch. What do you think?
Yes. Right, we're actually going to be doing a Western Conference preview show. We're taping it this Saturday, so I will have plenty of predictions for you then.
I was going to say, what do you got on the Western Conference? You gave me a couple things in the East. What do you think about the West?
I haven't totally thought about it. I do actually see the Wild definitely getting out of the first round. I don't know that Colorado is the force that they were last year. They've certainly shown glimpses that they can be that, but Cale Makar isn't right. He just is not 100%. I actually was calling the showcase game a few weeks ago when he got hurt and missed time, came back later and still didn't look right. So I'm a little worried about him, and he's a huge part of their team. So my prediction is that Colorado will not make it out of the second round. I don't know. I go back. Sorry. I'm thinking about the Edmonton Oilers, because I was not a believer, and now I suddenly am a little bit of a believer. So I want to say they might make it all the way to the Cup final, but I'm not going to say that's an actual prediction, because I haven't filled out my bracket yet. But I think I think that would be a pretty surprising pick, and I could see it happening. But I like the Wild chances as well for the hometown. listeners out there, since I know this is a wild, I think they certainly could make it to the Western Conference Final at least. And that's what I'm hoping for, because I will be on the ground at the Western Conference Final covering it. So it would be a dream come true if it was in Minnesota.
Love it. Love the opinions. Appreciate the candidness. Before I let you go, I got a couple of quick ones for you. Sort of like a quick hits. First thing that comes to mind, okay?
Yeah.
Best thing about going to school at USC?
The football team.
Your funniest...
At the time.
Yeah, at the time. Very I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah.
Your funniest or the funniest on-air moment?
Oh, Ken Danico falling off his chair right next to me and his facial expression. Don't worry, it's not mean. He's okay. He wasn't that badly hurt, but he literally completely fell like a cartoon would off his chair on TV.
Did you keep it together?
I mean, I was very concerned for him, but then he started laughing and we started laughing and we just broke out. So that was a funny moment.
You mentioned Minnesota Nice earlier. East Coast or the quote unquote Minnesota Nice lifestyle?
Minnesota Nice lifestyle, of course.
Big goal or spectacular save?
Big goal.
Who wins the Stanley Cup?
Oh, man. I'm thinking way too hard about this. You caught me off guard because I haven't filled out my bracket. I haven't even looked. Okay, I'm saying, here we go. I got to look at the Eastern Conference. Devils, why not?
All right. Not too far-fetched. I mean, they've had a hell of a year.
Yeah, they still might win the division. We'll see how tonight goes. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. Devils, maybe Devils Oilers. Maybe that's what I'm going to go with.
All right. Jamie, thanks so much for joining me. Again, for our listeners, follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie Hirsch. Studio host, NHL Network, MLB Network, Minnesota native. Heck of a career. Look forward to watching you grow in the play-by-play role. And again, really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was great chatting with you, and hopefully we'll see you soon.